The Mishnah says, "Chamesha esrei nashim potros tzarosan v'tzaros tzarosan menachalitzo menayibu matzofa olam." There are 15 types of women who are considered to be forms of erva that exempt from yibum and chalitza. So we'll have to explain each of these cases. Ve'eluhin bito ubas bito ubas bino. So perhaps, seemingly the simplest cases in the Mishnah. So let's say we'll explain the case of Bito, right? So Bito would mean, right, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven has a daughter, Rachel, and Shimon marries his niece, Rachel, which is permitted Minah Torah to marry your niece. And then Shimon dies childless. Rachel would theoretically fall to Yibum to her father, Reuven. Obviously, she cannot marry her father, so no Yibum would apply in that case. And the same would be true for Reuven's granddaughter, from his son, from his daughter. Then the Mishnah says, Bas Ishto Ubas Bina Ubas Bita. Similarly, let's say, for example, one's wife had a daughter from a previous marriage, or a granddaughter, whatever the case was. So in those cases as well, if that woman were to fall to Yibum to her mother's, either her mother's husband or to her grandmother's husband, again, assuming that it wasn't her actual father or grandfather, Yibum would not apply in that case either. Then the Mishnah says, Chamoso ve'im chamoso ve'im chamid. So the further exemptions from Yibum are cases of one's mother-in-law or one's mother-in-law's mother or father-in-law's mother. For example, if Reuven is married to Rachel and Rachel has a mother, Rivka, so then Shimon is allowed to marry Reuven's mother-in-law. There's nothing saying, assuming that she's obviously not married, let's say she's divorced, she's widowed, so there's nothing saying that he can't marry her, but if then Shimon then dies and then Reuven's mother-in-law were to theoretically to fall to Yibum to Reuven, that would obviously be a problem. The same would be true for the mother-in-law's mother or the father-in-law's mother. Then the Mishnah says, Achoso me'imo, va'achosimo, va'achosishto, ve'eshesachiv me'imo. The next cases are, Achoso me'imo basically means a maternal sister. So again, you could have a scenario of a sister who's not related to your brother, right? It could be like your stepsister and a half-brother, for example. Then you have achosimo. Achosimo is your aunt, is your mother's sister, which right there, there's an Isra Dol Raisa to marry your aunt. Then you have Achos Ishto, which is your sister-in-law, not the usual case of a sister-in-law of Yibum of Eishas Ach, of your brother's wife, but rather your wife's sister. And then you have Eishas Achiv Me'imo, which is your maternal half-brother's wife. So all of those cases, there will not be an obligation of Yibum or Chalitza. And then finally, the Mishnah ends off, the Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo V'chalaso, Harei Lupotros Tzarosan V'tzaros Tzarosan. Now, Eishas Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo is a whole sugya we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta, but basically, just for simplicity's sake, what it means is, if you had a scenario where, let's say, you have Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven is married to Rachel, Reuven dies, and then after Reuven dies, Reuven's mother gives birth to another boy, to Levi, who is Reuven, who's the late Reuven's brother, Levi, and then let's say Shimon did Yibum to Rachel, and then Shimon also died, Levi cannot do Yibum to Rachel, and if Reuven or Shimon were married to multiple women, let's say who were not related, they were considered saros, they were co-wives, so they're also exempted from Yibum, and again, we'll talk about later in the Masechta why this halacha is true. And then the last one is Kalaso, is the case of a daughter-in-law. So again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven is married to Rivka, Reuven has a son, Levi, and then Levi marries Rachel, Levi dies, after Levi dies, then Rachel marries Shimon, right? Shimon being Reuven's brother, and then Shimon dies. So now you have a scenario where Reuven's daughter-in-law is technically falling in Yibum to Reuven. So again, Yibum would not apply or Chalitza in any of those cases, and it also would not apply to the co-wives, meaning if that man had multiple wives, they would all be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. The Mishnah notes, V'chulan emesu omianu onizgarshu oshenimtsu islandis tsarosan mutaros. In all of these scenarios, if any of these women either die, or they do mion, right? Mion literally means refusal, which refers to the fact that a girl who's under bas mitzvah, who got married off by her older brother or by her mother, which is only midrabanan, right? Mida oraisa, a girl under bas mitzvah can only get married off by her father. Let's say the father died, the father's not around, whatever. So there is a special takana derabanan that the mother or the older brother can marry her off. The only thing is that because it's not a real marriage mida oraisa, the girl always has an option to just basically walk out of the marriage even without a get. So before she's bas mitzvah, she can do what's called mion. She could just refuse the marriage and walk out. So if the woman did that under bas mitzvah, then all the yibum and all the chalitza would fall away. Or if the woman got divorced, or if it turned out that she was an islandess. An islandess means that she's barren, that she physically can't have children, which kind of undermines the whole point of Yibam. So then the Mishnah says in all of these cases that Saros, the co-wives, are also permissible. They also go off scot-free without requiring Yibam or Chalitza. However, the Mishnah points out that obviously when it comes to the arayos of the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law's mother, the father-in-law's mother, those women are not able to say, oh, I'm an islandess or I'm a katana, because they themselves already had children. So if they themselves already had children, so first of all, they're, by definition, they're no longer an islandess, because an islandess means that you physically can't have children. And they also, the assumption is that they also can no longer do mion, because mion can only be done before you turn bas mitzvah. And this Gemara is clear, the Mishnah is assuming that a girl who's under bas mitzvah cannot physically bear children, which again, we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, whether or not that's true. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. What if that's for a woman? A man's married to a woman, and the woman is now 55 years old and can no longer have menopause and can't have anything.
Okay, so you're asking a general question. You're saying, should there be Yibam or Chalitza in a case where a woman can no longer physically bear children? So that's going to be... That's a famous machlokas Rishonim about this, about what the nature of Chalitza. Again, Bazman Hazeh, we only do Chalitza. We don't do Yibam, again, for a variety of reasons, which we're going to talk about later. But yeah, that's a big machlokas Rishonim, whether Chalitza is like an objective mitzvah, it always applies and makes no difference how old the woman is or no. Maybe if the reason falls away, if the woman physically can't have children, so maybe in a Hanami, maybe there should no longer be a mitzvah Chalitza. Again, that's a debate
so
in the Rishonim.
According
to some Rishonim, you should. Again, we probably would do it l'chumra. We probably would insist that you do it l'chumra. Yeah. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues. Ketzad potros tzarosan. What's the scenario that the co-wives get off scot-free without requiring yibum? Ha'isabito o'achas mikolo arayos ha'elu nesuos li'achiv v'lo isha acheres v'meis k'shem shabito p'tura kach tzaros p'tura. So this is, again, probably the most simple of the cases. So let's say, again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven has a daughter, and then Reuven's daughter marries Shimon, the brother or her uncle, and then Shimon dies, leaving her childless, but Shimon also has another wife, unrelated, Dina, let's say. So not only is Rachel obviously exempt from Yibum because she cannot marry her father, but her co-wife, Dina, who has no relation whatsoever to Reuven or to Rachel, is also exempt from Yibum. Holcha tzaras bito v'nises l'achiv asheni v'lo isha acheres v'meis, k'shem sh'tzaras bito p'tura, kach tzaras p'tura filu hein me'ah. And the Mishnah further adds that this can happen multiple times. You can have a scenario of a co-wife who, let's say, after the husband died, she went ahead and married a different brother, and then that brother died childless. And again, the other wife that she that was married to her husband, she was related in some form of erva, so she exempted from Yibam from the brother, so she would be exempt from Yibam again. In other words, you can have a scenario where a co-wife can be exempted from Yibam multiple times. Every time she gets married, the husband dies childless, and the other wife is always related to the brother through some erva, so that's always going to exempt her from Yibam. So the Mishnah explains, Ketzad and Mesu Tsaro say, and again, this is kind of a corollary to what we saw earlier in the Mishnah, which is that if it's a scenario where, let's say, the daughter died or there was a divorce prior, so then obviously the co-wife is going to go scot-free. So, for example, if Reuven is let's say, married to Rachel and Dina, Dina's not related to anyone, she's just a separate wife, and then Reuven dies, but let's say Rachel either died first, or Reuven divorced Rachel first, so then Dina is not required to do Yibam or Chalitza at that point anymore. And then finally, the Mishnah says... Yeah.
Why is that?
Okay, we're gonna talk about all these halachos as we go on to the Gemara. Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of limitations to the halachos of Yibam and Chalitza, as we'll see, mostly based on how we understand Psukim. So we're going to have to wait till we get to the Gemara before we can analyze each of these halachos, because the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on each of these lines and explaining why there should or should not be an obligation of Yibam or Chalitza here. Okay, and that,
Rabbi,
yeah.
Are we saying that once theoretically exempt, they're always exempt?
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that you can have a scenario where the co-wife can be exempted multiple times, assuming that each time the other wife is putter from Yibam for some technical reason because she's an erva, or if the other wife died, or if she got divorced. So assuming, in other words, you could have a scenario where in one marriage a co-wife is exempt and in another marriage she's obligated. That could happen also. But in these scenarios that the Mishnah is illustrating, it happens to be that every time the co-wife is exempt. Again, that's the scenario that the Mishnah is setting up.
In this scenario, if I understood it correctly, erva, even Bido was divorced before the circumstance happened that other wife would have fallen
correct
into the evil, and we're saying she's
that the other exempt wife is exempt. That's exactly right. She's exempt because at the time that there was a Zika bond that was created, that bond was created at the time of Yibam, she was not called a co-wife anymore. So because, in other words, there was never a time where that relationship was able to build. The whole reason why a co-wife, generally speaking, would theoretically be obligated is only by function of the other wife, right? So if she, in other words, her ability or inability to do Yibam is going to stem from the other wife. So if the other wife is out of the picture now, she died, she got divorced, she's no longer in the picture, so then the co-wife status is totally separate now. Now she's going to be muteris to go off on her own. She doesn't need Yibum anymore. She's not tied down to anything anymore. So again, we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about these halachos, okay? And then the last line in the Mishnah, v'chol hayecholo l'mayin v'lo miyana tzarasa choletzes v'lo misya bevetz. Which again, we're talking about this is really more at the very end of the Masechta, but the Mishnah says, let's say you had a girl, again, was married off when she was 10 by her mother or by her older brother. And she could have theoretically done meal, and she could have walked out on the marriage without a get, as we noted, but she chose not to. So the Mishnah says, if you then had a scenario where Yibam or Chalitza were to theoretically apply, you would have to do Chalitza but not Yibam. And again, we'll see, because since this marriage is only Midurabanan, so therefore there's not really a Zika ban Midoraisa, so you can't do Yibam, but you still have to do Chalitza. So again, we'll hopefully talk more about that a little bit later in the Masechta. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to have a little bit of like kind of these textual questions on the Mishnah. Michti, Kulu Me'achos Isha Yalfinan, Listen. The whole source that Yibum does not apply in the case of Erva is derived from Achos Isha. How do we know that? So we're going to talk about that as we go on in the next couple of Dafim, but we'll see that Achos Isha, which means your wife's sister, so not the normal sister-in-law of Yibum. Normal Yibum is Eshes Ach, is your brother's wife. Achos Isha, your wife's sister, there is no Yibum there, and we're going to see later on in the Masechta, that's derived from the word Aleha. Aleha b'chayeha, that there is no Chiv. In fact, there's an Isser of Yibum in this scenario. So the question is, if Achos Isha is this paradigm from which we derive that all our rayos are exempt or forbidden to do Yibam, why is that not the first one listed in the Mishnah? Why is Bito, why is one's daughter, the first Erva listed? So the Gemara says, V'chi tema tana chumre chumre nakat v'reb shimoni da'amar strefa chamura. Maybe you'll argue that the Mishnah is going in order of most to least severe in terms of punishment, and the Mishnah also is reflecting the opinion of Reb Shimon. There's a machlokas in Sanhedrin between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether strefa or skila is more severe. So maybe the Mishnah is reflecting Reb Shimon, who holds that Shreifa is more severe. The problem is, Ihachi lisnei chamoso bereisha de ikar Shreifa ba chamoso. But first of all, if that were true, then chamoso, one's mother-in-law, should have been the first one listed, because the onesh of Shreifa is written explicitly in the context of the Isser Erva for a mother-in-law, right? It says, but eish yisrefu oso v'yashen v'lo siyazima b'sochechem. It says explicitly that there's a that there's an onus of Shreifa. So if that's the logic, so then Chamoso should have been listed first. V'od basar Chamoso lisnei kalaso de basar Shreifa skila chamura. And moreover, the Gemara says that even if this Mishnah were to reflect Rav Shimon, well, then the next Erva should have been the one that you get skila for, because everyone agrees that it's either Shreifa or skila. It's one or the other. So once you've spoken about Shreifa, the next best thing should be skila, which is kalaso. Kalaso, right, one's daughter-in-law is, if one has relations with one's daughter-in-law, they're chayiv skila, and yet kalaso is the last one in the Mishnah. So the question is, the Mishnah should have been Chamoso and then Kalaso, but that's not the order of the Mishnah at all. So says the Gemara, you're right. Ela Bito Keban da Asya Midrasha Chavivale. Says the Gemara that the source that we know that one's daughter does not have an obligation, or maybe even it's even forbidden to do Yibam, that's derived from a Drasha. The Gemara has this principle in a few places that whenever something is not written explicitly in Chumash, the Tana likes to focus on that more because it's, you know, it's more dear to him because he had to figure it out on his own. It wasn't so explicit. So the Gemara asks, Kulunami Midrasha. Hang on one second. Every one of the arayos, aside from Achos Isha, is not written explicitly in Chumash. In other words, the Torah never says that in the case of Chamoso that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. We have to derive that from Achos Isha. So none of these arayos are written explicitly. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood what we said. Nehi dele inyan Yibum asyon midrasha, ikar isurayu behejik sivbehu, bito ikar isura midrasha, de amar rava, amar li rav yitzlag barav dimi asya, hena asya zima zima. The Gemara says, no. All the other arayos, aside from bito, are written explicitly in Chumash, meaning the Torah says you can't have relations with your mother-in-law, with your granddaughter, with your daughter-in-law, etc., etc. Daughter is the only one that's not written at all. The Torah never says you can't have relations with your daughter. The Gemara Makos talks about how we know that. It's a Kal V'Chomer from a granddaughter, but it never says it explicitly. In terms of the technicality that Yibum doesn't apply B'Makom Erva, the Torah only says that explicitly by Achos Isha, but not by any of the other Arayos. How do we know that there's an Isser to have relations with your daughter if it's not written explicitly? So the Gemara quotes a very famous kind of a, this four-way gzera shava called Heina Heina Zima Zima, which is a compilation of three psukim, two in Acharemos and one in Kedoshim. The first in Acharemos is Ervas Bas Bincha Ovas Bitcha Lo Segale Ervasan Ki Ervas Chahena. That's regarding the issue of having relations with one's granddaughter. Then seven psukim later, also in Acharemos, it says Ervas Isha Ubita Lo Segale Bas Ben Avias Bas Bita Lo Sigach Legalos Ervasa Shara Heina Zima Yi. That's the issue of marrying a woman and her daughter. And then you have in Parshas Kedoshim, v'ish asher yikaches isha v'es ima zimahi, v'ish yis refu oso v'yasen v'lo siya zima besochechem, which is the issue of marrying or having relations with your mother-in-law. So basically, if you put all these psukim together, the point is, you can derive from these psukim that there's an issue to have relations or to marry your daughter also. So the Gemara says it's not written explicitly, and the reason why Bito is the first thing in the Mishnah is because it's the least explicit one of the arayos that's in Chumash. That's the ultimate answer. Okay.